This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. It's March, so Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this year. There's just nothing like betting in March. Breakdowns of every region and every game. From conference tournaments to the Final Horn, we'll have the picks and the plays on every single game. Cinderella spotlights, upset alerts, and some of that value for the last team standing. It's tourney time, so hunker down and bet the board with us. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Three things we're going to cover here. Apparently, some thoughts about my trip. Also, the jersey sales for MLB. And thirdly, did you hear how different that commercial is? You don't need to expand.
The kid's voice wasn't as annoying.
877-881-1053, Frankel and Frankel Injury Attorney text line, or the Twitch, or the YouTube. Did you hear that shocking change to the commercial?
Yes, the fan text is already starting to text in and ask, what the hell is this? Hold on.
No,
you like it better?
It was a great commercial.
Like it better? This is all I'm asking. Did you like it better? Or no?
I will admit, I was surprised when it sounded different.
If you're trying to advertise and your goal is to get people to A, remember, B, talk about you.
That's a win.
They've crushed it every time.
Yeah. I agree with all of that. All right. The most popular player jerseys based on sales and whatnot going into the 2025 season. How many, Corey, of the top 10 do you think you could name?
Four.
Alec, can you name more than four in the top 10?
Five, maybe?
Corey, would you like to beat five?
What?
Or let Alec give it a shot?
Six.
Alec, I believe in you, man. If you go to seven, I think you'll get a shot at this, and I think you can do it.
I'll do seven.
Oh, Corey!
Nine.
What the hell? All right, Alec. Now, this is going to be harder to convince you. This is going to be really tough. If you think you could do all 10, first of all, Corey can't steal that from you. It would be
It was all you after that, yeah.
Memorable.
If you don't do it, we have to chop a toe
the
off.
The players on the list are people you've heard of. That's the best I can say.
Okay.
It's like, you know.
That doesn't make me feel better.
Yeah.
You've heard every one of their names, is what he's saying.
So.
Before, at some point.
I'll do 10.
There you go.
Oh, my gosh.
Take the challenge.
And yes, from the 806, the 817, the 972, I don't know if that was an Easter bit. I don't know if it was for April Fools.
As Alex said, recession.
Yeah.
Eggs are expensive.
I thought it caught people's attention. Yeah, man. I'm looking at the fan text. You're right, Corey. It definitely caught people's attention. All right.
Black Panther to you said, does that say donate your ex today?
I think it's eggs.
That's what I heard first. I'm not going to lie. I was like,
you'd get a lot of people who would be fine at the end.
Yeah.
They'd be like, okay. All right, Alec, you said you can go superstar mode here and get all 10.
You can do this, dude. I got faith in you, Alec.
So if you get it right, I'll say you did an excellent job.
All right.
All right, go ahead.
So this is baseball, right?
Yes.
Just to confirm.
Top 10 jersey sales for baseball heading into the 2025 season.
I'm going to take a big swing. Shohei Ohtani.
That is number one.
I'm going to take another big swing. Aaron Judge.
Good answer.
Judge is number five on the list.
Five.
I know. I actually would have guessed higher than that as well.
Huh.
By the way, walking around New York City, tons of Aaron Shohei Judge Ohtani jerseys.
Okay. Yeah, Judge, that makes sense.
Give me the World Series MVP, Freddie Freeman.
Coming in at number two list.
Good for him.
See the
Freddie
other thing,
Freeman, keep that in mind.
Didn't he just roll his ankle in the shower? Like yeah. The one he just got surgically repaired.
And what a freaky accident.
Yeah. So weird. Like that dude yesterday for the Pirates that stepped on the base on a home run trot and broke, fractured his ankle. How's that happen?
This is an interesting bit of advice from the 806 named Dodgers.
Huh.
And Mets, and you have a great chance. Don't know if that is accurate or not.
Okay, Dodgers, Mets. Give me Juan Soto.
Juan Soto is number three.
Because he has a New Jersey, right?
On the list, that's right.
In New Jersey.
That is an important thing.
Huh. Okay. In the Queens.
Yeah.
Mookie?
Good answer.
Five answers in, and Alec Medford is named 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. Mookie Betts is number four. Corey, are you getting nervous?
Not at all.
Okay.
I think he can do it. I know Alec Medford.
That's not what he told me off here.
What?
That is true.
Alec.
You are a fraud.
Five down.
I'm doubting Thomas here.
Five to go.
If we're going with the Dodgers method, I'm going to go with, this one scares me. Yoshinobu Yamamoto.
Man, he said the name.
Yamamoto is not in the top nine. But luckily, this is a top 10 list. He is number 10 on the list.
I like it.
I think he's going to do it.
Okay. If they're people I know. Ronald Acuna Jr.
Good answer.
Number 9 on the list. Alec is now 7 for 7.
Has he only named one Met so far?
I think, yes, that is accurate.
I can name another.
From the 817, Peyton could never do this.
Ooh, this is true. It's not a ball knower, you know. That's why I get 5 segments a week. We still got to pull those numbers. give me Francisco Lindor if we're talking Mets.
Francisco Lindor is number 6 on the list. You're 8 for 8, Alec. Most popular baseball jersey sales going into the season, which obviously I know started in. It really started on Thursday. You have 2 left.
One of them's stupid.
Oh.
So it's an Astro. Jose Altuve, isn't it?
That is correct.
Yes. I love it.
Dude, one more and I can go home.
Did you see? No. Hold on. What's he? Did you agree to that?
No, I agree that we would cut your toe off.
Oh, okay, but we can't. Yeah. He can't go home because we don't know what to do over there. Like nobody has a clue how to work the board.
Kevin's just going to get some early work for when the Rangers go 162-0 next
year. That's right. Altuve, Kevin, did you see when Juan Soto hit one to left field and he had no clue how to catch the fly ball? And it looked. I doubled up. I said 7 games. I think 14. He's going to cost him 14 games this year.
He looks so lost out there.
He does.
Alec. And tiny. You have shown off your impressive sports knowledge. You are 9 for 9. But to really make you an elite champion forever, you have to get this last one. You have gotten 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 8, 9, and 10. Who is lucky number 7?
Kevin Hayton.
That's who I was going to guess. Thank you for solidifying my idea. Bryce Harper.
Oh, okay. Man. It was very close.
For the record, I do not hate Bryce Harper. I want to make that abundantly clear.
I think you're lying.
This is a tiny bit overrated. But that is correct. Bryce Harper is number 7 on the list. You got all 10.
There you go, buddy.
And proved you are the knower of all things baseball jerseys. Well done. Now, for the trip. What do you guys want to know about the trip? Or do you want to talk about more sports stuff?
Was there enough space in your bedroom to like do flips on the bed and stuff?
I think there was. I do not think I have the necessary athletic ability to make flips on the bed.
Oh, you didn't try then?
I did not.
Did Jess?
No.
Next time.
You know what I did like? Because we actually stayed in an Airbnb. It was really nice. But the lady goes, hey, it can get noisy occasionally because it's in the middle of everything.
What does that mean?
What it means is some people like to be hollering. And the cops get called sometimes.
Oh, really?
But it was legitimately a 5-minute walk from the Prudential Center.
And that's what you
it
were.
It was right around
focus.
The corner, and it was easy to take trains into the city. which we did on Saturday and Sunday. So I thought the place was great. It also had an uber firm mattress that made me rethink the way we sleep on mattresses.
So it would like pick you up out front?
No, not that kind of uber.
Oh.
It was just really firm and I loved it. And I think we should change mattresses. Also, saw two plays out there. John Proctor is the villain, which starred Sadie Sink from Stranger Things. And I'm going to tell you, I was really excited to get to experience
this. Is that the little redhead?
Yes. Yes, it is. She's good at it.
She's a Broadway actress now?
Yeah. She started in Broadway, I believe.
No way.
There is a moment in that play where we all audibly gasped together.
Wow.
And then I go, oh, S. Because I was truly stunned by the revelation that had just taken place on stage. That was on Saturday afternoon. By the way, dress code at Broadway, not so much. Sunday.
Did you dress up anyway?
No.
Oh, why not?
Because I made my judgment off of the Saturday matinee where I was going to be rocking my Duke shoes and my Duke t-shirt, and I was okay with that.
You love to dress up, though.
I do, but...
You wore a cape last year.
When I
community
you guys ball. Asked me that. Yes, I did. But then when I saw the way people were dressed, and then somebody walked by in a Dick's Sporting Goods t-shirt, or the fishing place. Oh my God.
Bass Pro.
Thank you. In a Bass Pro t-shirt. And Jess goes, I think you're okay.
Yeah.
Because like, and that's a great place, but not the dressiest of shirts that you could wear. Sunday night, we went to a play called Anne Juliet. It's essentially a sequel to Romeo and Juliet where Juliet is not dead. It is very entertaining.
She died.
Well, or did she?
Oh, did they get her before?
I thought they buried her.
You.
No one's dying.
Yeah. Well, see, Jason Kidd.
But what about Romeo? He died, right? Did he die? Is he in the Anne Juliet? Oh, is that the finale? Wow.
I think you should watch the play because I'll tell you this. They have lots of 90s and 2000 songs in there. And they've been reappropriated for this play, but they don't really change the words that much. So, like, there's an argument when they're redoing this play between Shakespeare and Mrs. Shakespeare. And the way that they have this argument is by singing the song, I Want It That Way. And so we'll always come back to Shakespeare and he'll hold up his book and he'll be like, but I want it that way.
I think you were singing that on Friday. I think you were.
It was phenomenal.
I thought you said Anne Juliet. I didn't know it was and Juliet, like ampersand.
A-N-D.
Now I know.
And Juliet.
Did you get any pizza there? You didn't have any New York pizza.
My number one disappointment. We tried two different times to go to Joe's Pizza, which people seem to say was the go-to spot there. The line was insane. Both times.
A lot of visitors for the Final Four, for the Elite Eight.
That is true.
16.
And so I thought we were going to come across some pizza eventually. We didn't, but I think I had the best cornbread I've ever had outside of Texas in my life.
I was about to say, dude.
Because I got in trouble because I was on with the Fan Jam this weekend and Chris Arnold got mad at me for saying that. So I've revised my statement. The best cornbread I've ever had in my life outside the state of Texas. Because you know what? It wasn't in the shape of Texas.
Fact.
Which is what makes Love and War cornbread the best.
Fact.
But it was at a restaurant that was called Cornbread. And they have more food than that. But they have like soul food and everything. And their cornbread was phenomenal. So there was their fried chicken.
Oh, man. That sounds like a very worthwhile trip. And we didn't even have to talk about Duke playing basketball, so that's cool.
Yes.
Oh, one thing you are going to want to know about that game that has nothing to do with what happened on the court. By the way, from the 972, not dead, that kind of defeats the point of a tragedy. All right, there's this whole subplot about Shakespeare and Mrs. Shakespeare arguing about it. And like, you need to see the play. It's super duper fun, way different than John Proctor as the villain. Jess was almost called to violence during the game.
Really?
Because there was an Alabama fan sitting at the end of our row.
Just yelling at John Cryer the whole time?
No.
It's
John Shire. And so Alabama had more foul calls in its favor than Duke did, despite the fact that they were jacking up three-pointers and Duke was going to the basket. So there was like one call, and this guy goes, oh, ref, what are they paying you? And she goes, I wish she would shut the hell up. And I was like, really? Oh, yeah, or else what? And she goes, you know what? I can't do anything because there's a dad and his son in between us. But if there weren't, I would go tell him to be quiet. I might have cleaned that up just a little bit. And so she wanted to slap the S out of that dude. And then that little crybaby left before the game was over. He was like, my team's not going to win. And so he stomped off and he was all sad. But yeah, Jess was getting super into it. And it felt like she was ready to throw hands with an Alabama.
He must die!
I would have liked to see
bit,
that.
A little bit like that. We're the KNC masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. One more addendum, I'm sorry, for the 817. Kevin, was that the dirtiest smelling city you've ever been to? No. It had one very specific smell, which again, my wife said she was not prepared for.
Urine?
No. There are, it felt like all the people were smoking weed there. Even if you weren't directly where somebody was smoking weed, the entire city smells like weed. So for some people, that might be a huge benefit to go out there.
For some people.
Coming up next, it's time for AM on the FM.
We got the question of the day, plus maybe the mock drafts aren't so crazy. Next on The Fan.
The 1-1. High drive. Well hit ball out into center. Leote just watching as it hits up over the batter's eye. Second home run for De La Cruz. Both come with men on board. This two-run shot makes it 14-0.
I know that highlight is a little depressing. I'm going to try to cheer you up before we do AM on the FM. At 2:20 today, Rangers Player Show, the G-Bag Nation will have the man of the hour, too sweet to be sour, Jack Leiter,
nice,
on the show. And then also, MLB.com put together their 10 classic baseball pranks because today is April Fool's Day. Number one on the list, hands off the head. And it was the continued shenanigans between Elvis Andrus and Adrian Beltre. Well, I guess kind of one-way shenanigans for a lot of it. But they said that is their number one favorite prank in all of baseball.
Really?
So there's some positive Rangers news.
Always like the hot foot. I thought the hot foot was a good one.
Yeah.
It's where you have a bunch of hot cigarettes and bubble gum tape them to somebody's shoe and light it on fire.
I did think that is funny. Now, something that always brings us humor, it's time for this.
What does this button do?
Please, please, do not push the button. You have no idea of what it...
Alec, you be quiet.
Alec, that was awful.
One for Alec, zero for Peyton.
Don't you dare touch that dial.
Don't you dare do it. It is time for AM on the FM. My name is Alec Medford. Welcome back, Kevin. You get to step right back into chaos.
Woohoo!
With the question of the day, 877-881-1053 on the Frankel and Frankel Injury Attorneys text line. Twitch and YouTube want to hear from you as well. Plus, piece of audio that might tell us that maybe some of those mock drafts for the Cowboys aren't so crazy. Maybe even one that we talked about with Zach Wolchuk.
Interesting.
Corey Majors. We'll get to that here in just a little bit. We're going to hear from the head coach of the Dallas Cowboys, Brian Schottenheimer. But some of you might have found out the hard way. I haven't yet. I haven't come across anything that's been divisive or concerning on social media and gotten me to bite yet. But it is April 1st. So that means it's April Fool's Day.
Mm.
So I'm asking you, the Tolo, have you ever been involved, whether on the receiving end or maybe you were on the planning end, of an epic April Fool's story? I want to know that story. 877-881-1053. What is your best April Fool's Day story? Because I think for me, maybe the fact that it took me an hour and 15 minutes to get to work today, that was absurd.
Oh,
on a Tuesday.
No.
Yeah, because one right lane on a 5-lane highway was closed. It took an extra 30 minutes.
On a 5-lane highway?
Yeah, it's like one lane closes on 30. And what happens? I don't understand.
Can I ask you a question about that theory? All right, so the one lane is closed. Let's just assume for the purposes of this, it's the left lane, right? And so you're in the other three or four lanes. You're following the rules, staying in your lane and everything like that. And you see somebody continuing to move down the left lane, closer and closer to stalled car, police vehicle, whatever is the impediment. Do you protect your lane to make sure that person can't get in where you are, because they have clearly seen the problem. They have decided to flaunt the system in an effort to get ahead. Do you protect your space in your lane?
Kevin, yes, I do. Mm. And I saw this play out yesterday on 75 as somebody was trying to, at the last second, get out of the HOV lane because they were afraid they were going to get caught. And it happens all the time. Right there on 75 South, where the HOV lane continues to go over the Mixmaster, that's a bad spot right now. And it really does crush the left lane all the way back because people are trying to get over and forcing their way over. And I do protect it. Saw a guy protect the lane. The guy behind him pulled up and hit him. And then they both like drove off. Like the guys got out, yelled at each other, and then drove off. And I was like, whoa.
What?
Yeah, he just hit him out of for protecting his lane.
See,
you made the bad decision of waiting until the last second to get over.
Exactly. And so I don't understand why the person who's in that lane trying to get in is honking. I'm like, why? Because I'm not going to let you shortcut because you didn't wait like everybody else. Now, it's a different deal if you put your turn signal on and you've been waiting to get in there for a million billion years. We should all use the zipper method.
Yes.
I'd be fine with that. But if you're trying to just cut to the front and you don't get let in, don't honk at that person. That's not their fault.
True.
Yeah, I definitely protect mine, and I'm religious about that. Like, I hate when people knowingly see that there is an issue, they need to move, but they're like, I'd rather cut in front of 15 people so I can get past all this mess quicker. It's like, I know what you're doing. I'm not stupid. You can't sell this like, oh, you know, nobody would let me in. No, you had 15 opportunities. I could see you in my mirror. Those kind of people are the absolute worst. And driving from Grand Prairie over by Joe Pool Lake to downtown Dallas every morning, you get a lot of that stuff. And going back home, especially because the lane's narrow, you get in onto 67 where it shrinks down to only two lanes at some point, and there's always that one guy.
Do you think that this would be different if people did a better job at paying attention? Like, one of the things when we were in New York that I liked a lot is people honk immediately. Like, we didn't have a car, but for people that are driving around, do you think if people were like more alert and knew that it's going to be really tough? Because I think one of the reasons people do it, outside of impatience, in selfishness, is some Nimrod won't be paying attention and I'll get to jump in there.
Mm-hmm.
And that's their fault at that point. Like, if you're sitting there on your phone, you know, because you're like, oh, it's at a total stop right now. And then you look up and there's four car lengths in front of you. It's then, like, you deserve that. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes it is earned. It's karma. Putting the car in karma.
When I was in the restaurant business, Alec, as a server, it was April Fool's. I've not taken part in many April Fool's moments, but my best friend was the shift leader and he was also my roommate at the time. And he was like, nah, dude, I can't let you off work early today. And I was like, I really need to get out of here early. And he was like, I'm sorry, I can't do it. So I unscrewed all the salt shakers in his section and just left them like that. So everybody that used the salt just dumped salt onto their food, and then he had to take it back. And I thought it was hilarious because it was every single one of them. And he thought it was just one. And he was like, oh, okay. And then it kept happening. And he was like, how is this happening? And it just was really funny to me.
Man, I just thought of mine. I was going to make a joke as mine, but I totally just remembered a great story from freshman year of high school. I've talked about this guy before. The same man that I told you a couple weeks ago thought he tore his ACL trying to dunk for his middle school basketball players. His name is Jackson. He transferred to our high school from a different city, I think, freshman year, and he became our quarterback of the football team. So, like, everybody knew who he was, but he was the new guy in town, so we had to let him know that. And in algebra class, shout out to Coach Woodward for letting us get away with some of the stupid stuff that we did. We found, ironically, kind of looked like him. Not even making that up. He kind of looked like him. Just had hair. That was the only difference.
Nice.
But he had an incident one time where Coach Woodward had some lotion at, like, the table at the front just in case anybody needed to use some lotion. And somebody left it unscrewed and it got all over Jackson's hands. And so, like, he had a fear of that lotion bottle ever since. So before he got to class, because he was habitually late to every single class, as most of us student athletes were because we were too cool or whatever, we got there early one day and we put lotion on his seat, his calculator, you know, the Texas Instruments calculator, how they have the cover on it.
Those were not cheap.
We put it inside the cover of the calculator, put a little dollop in there. We put lotion everywhere that we knew he was going to be or have to make physical contact with just to scar him. And he got so mad at us. And back then, there was a little bit of like genuine disdain for him because he kind of was, you know, the showboaty guy. Now he's one of my best friends. So it's weird how that stuff works out. But we put lotion everywhere inside of his athletics locker, like everywhere. We put lotion everywhere just to scare him. Just like the myth that The Undertaker is terrified of cucumbers, right? he was like terrified of lotion after that day because somebody left the bottle unscrewed and it got everywhere. So he's like, nope, never touching that lotion again. So guess what? We put the lotion everywhere else on April Fool's Day. And that was the funniest thing. Freshman year of high school. It was the dumbest thing we ever did. We should have gotten in trouble for it, but you had the cool teacher that was also a football coach. So he was kind of like, you deserved it anyway. You sucked in practice. So, you know, it ended up being A-OK. So let's keep those coming in. Your best April Fool's Day stories, 877-881-1053. We're getting lots of feedback on the people that try to skip traffic, too.
Okay, and one of them, I think this is fascinating because I'm not going to lie, I've done that as well. I've done this one as well from the 972. Not only will I protect my lane, I will go out of my way to move over into the lane they're trying to get into and block them. So I thought about this in terms of like when you get on the highway and someone's going to try to go around you and drive down the shoulder. And maybe people will not agree with this, but I might inch over just a little bit so you're not going to get around and be able to drive on the shoulder and cut through the traffic for everybody. Although I have seen one or two people who are like, nope, the roads belong to us all. You can do whatever you want. And I was like, okay.
I just like people who do it the right way, man. You get rewarded if you do it the right way. I will not reward you for thinking that you're better than everybody and you have somewhere more important to be because, you know, my bed is calling my name after the show. Oh my gosh. It's usually the gym. Yeah. And I'm trying to get there before the high school kids get out and take up all the machines. So, hey, don't throw off my day by being a jerk.
He's right about that part. Those kids get in the way.
Yeah. How many more lotion-based stories do you have?
In terms of pranks or just like...
It's in your arsenal. I'm just curious to prepare for the rest of the week.
Probably like double digits.
Quick lotion story for you. That's how I wanted to be introduced.
Each day I'm going to have a different lotion incident. Back to the days when I was doing weekends and there was that random bottle that was just sitting in there. And I'm like, huh, why is it halfway empty?
Kevin's bottle of lotion that he had.
This popped up like 2 weeks ago and now it's totally...
People know that story. It bothered Mike so much that I would lick my fingers that he was like, we need to get lotion in here. Because this is unsustainable.
I've got so many drops of Mike saying like, we're the show of licking and stuff like that. Because, you know, that's what we do around here. We lick ourselves. And yeah, there's a bunch of great stuff.
Alec?
Remember, I'm the producer, so I choose if this stuff makes it to 1:30 Friday. That's not going to. So the audio cut I had from Brian Schottenheimer is a bit on the longer side, so we're not going to get to it. Aww. But I will quote it, where he was asked about the wide receiver two position and what he wants to see out of his guys and potentially people that they could add. And he said, look, we have plans for the guys on the team already, like the Jalen Tolberts and the Jonathan Mingos of the world. Like, hey, we know you're good at X, Y, and Z. Can we make you good at these other things? So he said, we actually have written out plans on how to help these guys improve, right? But he did mention, he said, for guys outside the team that we could add, looking for speed and explosive playability. That instantly made me think, Corey, when we were joined by Zach Woolchuk in Kevin's absence, and you talked about Matthew Golden popping up in some mock drafts here recently. And a lot of times with the national guys, sometimes they'll throw out a fun one that's like, there's nothing to go with this. So just be fun to see. When a lot of the same national people start putting out the same ideas, usually it's because people are, you know, flapping their gums a little bit about certain players and certain ideas and certain needs that the team thinks they need that maybe we don't see the same way as a fan or as the media or what have you. So I wonder if wide receiver is going to be at play and at pick number 12 for the Cowboys, and if it would be a Matthew Golden, because when I think of explosive receiver, that's who I think of in this class. Do I think he's the best receiver in this class? No. But the fact that the head coach is openly saying, yeah, we'd love to add explosive playability and speed to this roster at the wide receiver position, that makes me think draft or maybe even the trade market. Who knows? But it looks like they want to add there again because Mingo wasn't enough and they missed that fourth round pick. They just won't say it.
The KNC masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. Coming up next, it's time for Gridiron Gravy. All the new NFL rules and what didn't pass or even get freaking voted on today. We'll do it next right here in the Fan. KNC masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. Right now, time to go around the entire NFL and dip into some Gridiron Gravy. And we had a lot of NFL doings transpiring today. So remember the Lions proposed to eliminate automatic first down for defensive holding?
That I do.
That did not pass.
Oh.
They said no, no dice. So you need 24 of the 32 votes to get it passed.
How many do you know how many they got?
I don't think I've seen that vote count.
I agree with that. I think the holding should be a penalty, but you're already going 10 yards.
Yeah.
And now you get the first down. Like, I agree with them trying to pursue that.
Because it's the back-breaking, it was third and 25, and you got that, and you're like,
automatic first
fine,
down.
Fine, then make it third and 15 or 13, depending on where the spot of the foul was or whatever.
Yeah, I do hate that. But it is one of those that the referees can really control a game if they decide they want to call it, because we're told all the time, holding's on every play. It's just a matter of if they decide to call it or not.
Now, what the NFL did decide to approve, they approved expansion of replay assist. So for some people, they'll love it. For some people, they'll be like, why? And you'll still get it wrong anyway.
Is this like the ABS?
Kind of. So they're now going to allow, you can check on hitting a defenseless player, grabbing the face mask, horse collar, tripping.
Okay.
Not tricking.
So many tricks. When it comes to baseball, they were like, we need to make the game faster.
Yep.
And, hey, how much time is it going to take with the automatic balls and strikes system? Oh, man, not that much time. We're actually good.
Yeah.
With football, nobody's asking for the game to be shorter.
I think you're right. I think the NFL is still kind of obsessed with keeping it in that 3-hour window.
But they also do want to get things right. They, for the most part, it sounds like they want to get calls right. And the fans want that too. Because then we have the controversies of, it was a catch. No, it wasn't a catch. Des caught it. No, he didn't catch. Like,
they were
supposed to get that one right and they still effed it up.
Right.
But they do want to get it right. And I think fans definitely want that to be right as well.
The owners did also pass the rule guaranteeing each team a possession in overtime. Now, we had talked about this. Actually, we've been talking about this for a while. This is something that could potentially slow down the game, although you're still going to have the maximum of 10 minutes in the overtime. I know some people wanted to push that back to 15 as well. Do you like the idea of the rules falling more in line with how they do in postseason?
I don't care in the regular season, honestly.
Okay.
Now, there's going to be a team that it matters a lot to them, but it's going to be that one team. And it might be the Cowboys. And we'll be like, dadgummit, I can't believe this happened. Well, score more points in regulation and you don't have to worry about it, or stop a team from scoring. But it does feel like once you get to the playoffs, if you've never experienced it, you don't know what to do. Maybe you don't have a real system built for it because you didn't do the same thing in the regular season. That's a trial period for the playoffs. So that's the one reason that I would say I want that trial period. But that's what practice is for as well. Practice for those situations.
Quick football logic question for you guys. Would you still always take the ball first? Because I know in college overtime, there's thought that like going second, you can see exactly what the other team did. And you could still do that in the NFL. But if it's still tied after you both get that one possession, then it's sudden death. So it does feel like still having the ball first is the way to go.
I want to take the ball, score, put pressure on them to now score, hype up my defense.
Like, would you go for two or just kick the extra point?
Man. So more often than not, Kevin, I am going for two.
Okay.
I'm probably not kicking extra points in most in the regular season most of the time. I'm one of those guys like, no, let's get 2 points. Let's add, let's get eight every time. They're giving us a chance to get eight. We might as well take eight from them. And I want my team to have that mentality. I'm more Dan Campbell in that respect.
Okay.
It might not be the logical thing. It might not work out for me.
I got you.
But if my team starts expecting it, hey, we're always going for eight. We're never going for seven. So that would probably be my approach.
Same question for you, Alec.
I think I'm still taking the ball first because I do like the idea of putting pressure on the other team, because if you can get them to press offensively, they're going to try to do too much more times than not. They're going to think that they have to make every play count. So if they try a little too hard on every play, or maybe they get into a pass happy mode where they're like, we're going to throw the ball 3 times in a row, then hey, that's their problem, not mine. And to Corey's point, get that defense hyped up, them knowing that, hey, we don't, like, obviously if we get a stop here, we win, but we also have those 7 points, maybe even 8 points to go along with it. So it's not the end of the world. We get another shot at this thing as a team.
Would you choose to go for two regularly? I mean, I get it. A lot of this can be situationally based depending on what kind of game it's been and all that. Just as like a blanket statement, do you think you would usually just go for the extra point or go for two?
I think in 2025, people are going to look at you weird in a situation like that if you don't go for two. Like, I think it's going to become more and more common, and that purist mindset is going to start to go away. Dan Campbell is going to be the pioneer of it, but, you know, I think a lot of teams are going to start, the younger head coaches that start cycling in. Maybe it is Kellen Moore who starts it off this year with the Saints. He's like, I don't care if we got the best kicker in the league, whoever that might be at any given time, we're just going to go for two because we think offensively we are smarter than you.
Yeah, yeah. Now, a couple of things got tabled, which... Look, you can break that down a couple of different ways. I think the thought is that they had built up some momentum, but didn't have the votes yet to make it pass. Two things that got tabled, the Lions reseeding of the postseason. That was the Lions' suggestion about not giving division winners an automatic 1 through 4.
Because the NFC South is so terrible, and they're just like, they don't deserve a home game.
That is probably true. And then the other thing that got tabled is you're going to have to deal with more talk about the tush push. Can you handle more discussion about this?
I don't care.
Because you're just beat down by it, right? Pick one or the other.
Sure, but I also, I'm for it. If you can do it, then do it. What I was asking Wolchuk, I think this may have been off air, is I want to know the percentage of time that the push from behind doesn't even matter for the Eagles. What they get with the two guards and center, the push they get there, and then the sneak from Jalen Hurts, that's good enough. Yeah. I think most of the time they get the yardage they want. It's the extra yard and a half that everybody's upset about, I think, because the push comes from that. So if they're doing a quarterback sneak, what's the problem? If they're that successful on it.
Yeah.
And we've seen players get pushed before. We see offensive linemen and guys on the goal line. They're like, hey, let's just kind of lean into them. Or the pile's moving, and then they finally blow the whistle. I don't understand what the big problem is. Other than people go, we don't know how to stop it, so the only way that's to stop it is by eliminating it from the game. And that's what I hate.
Yeah. No, I'm with you on that. Now, I don't know if Jets owner Woody Johnson watched Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure before this quote, but he was asked about, hey, you got an F in the players' rankings for ownership. And he said, my first reaction, I think it's totally bogus. Then he derided the survey as, quote, not fair, and said if the players are unhappy, they need to tell him. Quote, I can't do anything if you don't tell me. Does this count as telling you? Like, I know they didn't directly, I get what he's saying. Like, hey, come to me person to person. Like, I get that. But surely this now counts as telling you, right? Like, a huge percentage of everyone's team voted on this, and they gave you an F.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, that counts.
Aren't they saying, hey, we're laying you off for cultural purposes if y'all want to take this buyout now? Like, isn't that?
Oh,
I think they just rolled. Jets just rolled out this idea where they're doing that. So, hey, we learned from our survey.
Thanks a lot, Aaron.
That we stunk. I think it's bogus. but now I'm going to give everybody an option to get a buyout, get 18 months, something like that, and we'll move on from that. I don't know. Like, if you think it's bogus, then probably you're not changing things.
And I don't know if you guys have strong opinions about this as well. We talked about the probability of this. In fact, the high probability of it. The NFL is moving the spot of touchbacks back up to the 35. Now, we talked about it, how it got moved to the 30, hopefully, and with the new kicking rules, they would spur on some more returns. They got more returns, but not as many as I think they anticipated. So now they're going to increase it to the 35.
Is this encouraging more field goals?
It might be. I think
more Brandon Aubrey's.
See, I think if I'm the Cowboys, I'm like, great, 15 yards, we get a shot. I think the NFL is viewing it as further incentive because they really seem to want to jumpstart the kickoff thing, which is weird because it feels like we've discussed how there's more injuries on the kickoff versus anything else. And so they're trying to be safer, but they're also trying to jumpstart it. There's a lot going on that the NFL is trying to pull off.
I like this idea. Multiple people have texted this in, but the idea of the tush push, what if Jalen Hurts did it for an entire 8 minutes in overtime and they just tush push the whole way down the field and then they got their points?
I'm not going to lie. There's been a couple of times when the Eagles were in 3rd and 3 and they run a different play that's like maybe an incomplete pass. And I'm like,
why not
just do back-to-back tush pushes? Like if you know you're going to be getting your yard and a half, maybe your 2 yards. So maybe it's 3rd and 2, 3rd and 3. That thought has crossed my mind a million times.
Yeah.
By the way, the NFL is very concerned about player safety. I've told you that's why they redid some of the kickoff rules. Also, now you only have to flex a game to Thursday Night Football within 21 days. Now, it was 28 days, and they decided, you know what? 4 weeks is too long for you to think you're going to go from playing Sunday. Now you have to play on Thursday. We're only going to give you 3 weeks. It's things like that. That's fine if that's what you want to do. But I don't think that always works in cooperation with we're looking out for the best interests of player safety.
Yeah, no, I agree.
Maybe you shouldn't be flexing because they're like 4 weeks is too long because some of these teams got worse again.
If safety is really important, get rid of the Thursday night and Monday night games.
Yes, or definitely don't flex the Sunday game.
Matter of fact, make there be a week between each game or 2 weeks between each game. If you're really concerned about them,
you know what? And I think
shorten the season even more.
And I think if the NFL was really smart, they could cycle through a little bit and only play every other, each team only plays every other week, but you would still have your slate of 8 games per week. And look, there's a lot to think about.
Shorten the season, Kevin, to like, I don't know, 8 games total.
That's not what we're going to do,
then
Corey.
And double up the price because supply and demand.
Instead, they're concerned about player safety and they're going to add another game.
Okay.
Although I do think they're going to add another bye week and that is going to be the new NFL schedule. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, it's time to power rank those MLB power rankings. Where would you put the Rangers? Let's do it next right here on The Fan.